Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As is the custom of our congregation, would you read together with me the sermon title on the screen? Descriptions, not prescriptions. Based on Matthew 5, the gospel we just read, the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. When Jesus saw the crowds, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you on the handout you received, as together we consider our theme, descriptions, not prescriptions. These beautiful words of Jesus over the years have been called the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. But these same words have become some of the most misunderstood words in the entire Bible. Read wrongly, these blesseds become a list of prescriptions, things we must do to get right with God. Romanticized, they just become a pretty slogan on a wall poster that you don't really take seriously. But read correctly through the eyes of humble faith, these words describe the life of blessedness that God has already given to his children. Okay, you rascals, you compromise, you dear young folks treasured in our congregation, my dear friends and children in the faith, all 11 of you. Today's sermon is just a summary of our entire confirmation class year together. Everything we studied will be summed up in this message today, and it really asks two questions. For the rest of your life, will you live a fearful life trying to please God and get right with him? Or will you live a joyful life knowing that Jesus has already made you right with the Heavenly Father and he has made you his beloved children? Now, at first glance, these blessings in Matthew 5 seem to present an if-then formula. If you're poor in spirit, then yours is the kingdom of God. If you're meek, then you'll inherit the earth. If you're pure in heart, then you'll see God. They seem like law-based prescriptions, what we must do. But then that makes the Christian faith a religion of payoffs. God, this week I've been really humble. Now give me what I'm asking for. God, I pray every day and go to church every Sunday. Now give me what I deserve. Now, perhaps we're not as crass as this, but too often each of us, young adults, teenagers, and children, we can all sometimes live the Christian life grudgingly with the hope of getting some kind of payoff from God. If I strive to do these things, O God, then I'll be blessed by you. But Jesus told the people of his day and tells us today that if we plan to use God's word and his commandments as a payoff formula, then there's one key stipulation. He says it in Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Whoops. As we learned in confirmation class, no one can keep God's law perfectly. We are all sinners. Woe to us if we get what we deserve because of our sin. The if-then formula of the Beatitudes become a trap ready to crush us. The Beatitudes become a curse, not a blessing. No, these Beatitudes of Jesus cannot be seen as a payoff formula, a list of prescriptions we must do. But on the other hand, if we read the Beatitudes just sentimentally, like a pretty slogan on a wall poster, then we will never take them seriously. We will try to separate our Sunday life from from our Monday through Saturday's lives, as if what we do on Sunday morning has nothing to do with the rest of our week. We will then try to live in two worlds, the make-believe world of Sunday religion and the world of real life. Oh, that Monday through Saturday world where the practices, listen carefully, blessed are those who are rich, for they're the winners. Blessed are the powerful, for they'll get whatever they want. Blessed are the selfish, because they'll keep one step ahead of everybody else. You see, these Beatitudes of Jesus offer us only two choices. Be blessed by the standards of the world, or be blessed by God's standards. Jesus, the preacher of the Beatitudes, tells us a war is being waged for our own souls. Are you listening, young folks? As you get older, you'll recognize this more and more. A war is being waged for your souls, and that's true for all of us. A war is being waged for our souls. A war between the values of this sinful world and the values of the holy and true God. Misread as a payoff formula, these prescriptions simply become rules for a better life. Prescriptions we can never live up to. These Beatitudes finally reveal that we are helpless in our sin. We cannot live up to them. In our sinful flesh, we are not meek. We are not humble, merciful, pure in heart, or peacemakers. We can't earn God's love by living a life they seem to prescribe. And are you ready to hear some good news? This is precisely the point for understanding these words of Jesus correctly. These Beatitudes, these blessed are, blessed are, blessed are meant for those of us who know in our sinful flesh we are helpless. But we know who our helper is. When we honestly confess to God, "Dear God, I am a sinner. I need a forgiving Savior," then these Beatitudes become blessings. Then they are descriptions of who we are in Christ. Why? Because he who spoke the Beatitudes is the Beatitude. Jesus is the poor in spirit who humbled himself all the way to the cross. Jesus is the one who mourns for us sinners. Jesus is the meek, humble son of Mary and Joseph. Jesus is the merciful one who has had mercy on us. Jesus is the pure in heart who's holy without sin. Jesus is the peacemaker who has given us peace with Almighty God. Now, I know you're very excited today, young folks, because of confirmation, and maybe you didn't hear the last words of the gospel reading, but listen to what Jesus says. He says that persecution and ridicule can be the outcome of living God's Beatitudes. Listen how Jesus ends this text. "And Kathy, Sophia, Ethan, Grady, Isaiah, Cindy, Elena, Sophie, Ivy, Matthias, Luke." Listen to what Jesus says. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of false evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, because so they persecuted the prophets before you." Elena, remember that class in confirmation when you brought up? Even now, as a 13-year-old young woman, you're being made fun of in school because of your love for Jesus. Jesus says this will happen. Did you hear that? Persecution can result when the war between God's values and the values of this world collide. My dear confirmants, as you grow up, get ready. When you stand up for Jesus and stand up for God's truth and do not follow the ways of the sinful world around you, you will be insulted, persecuted, made fun of, and guess what? The same thing happened to your dear Lord Jesus Christ. How about what happened to our Lord Jesus on the cross? On a cross of pain and shame where Jesus was despised, mocked, and insulted. Is that where it ended for him? Is that the end of the Beatitudes? No. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On that first Easter morning, as Jesus rises from an empty tomb, a victory song is sung. Can you hear the song? He is risen. He has won the battle. Our sins are forgiven. All that he has done for us. The gates of heaven are open wide through our Lord Jesus. We receive every blessing, every beatitude. And if you've tuned out so far during the sermon, anyone, now is a time to tune back in. Because here is the single point of the entire message. The Beatitudes describe the life I have in Jesus now. Would you say that with me? The Beatitudes describe the life I have in Jesus now. One more time. The Beatitudes describe the life I have in Jesus now. Every day, Jesus is forming his people into a people who are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And we are blessed even when the world around us doesn't care and can't see it. Blessed is that faithful Christian woman. I'm talking to you. Blessed is that faithful Christian woman who works so hard without worldly praise, caring for children, grandchildren, husband, and probably even working a paying job on the side. Blessed is that faithful man, gentlemen, I'm talking to you. That faithful man who provides for his family, who lays down his life for his family, denying himself and his personal wants to be a real man of God for the sake of others. Blessed is that single person who remains true to God's values when it would be so much easier just to follow the crowd. Blessed is that confirmation student to every student who takes a stand for what is right and God-pleasing, even when peer pressure shouts, turn your back on God. Oh, blessed are you, child of God. As Jesus said, blessed are you, the poor in spirit. Blessed are you, the one who mourns. Blessed are you, the meek, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, the persecuted. One last time, my beloved confirmation students, blessed are you, because Jesus says to you in Revelation 2, verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of everlasting life. Blessed are you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.